The reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, 13 to 16, and verse 28 to 49. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Do your doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you with my Father what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of God.
I want to talk this morning about beauty and the scars. Do you have any scars? Well, of course you do. We all have them. Let me tell you about three of my scars. The first one is on my forehead, although to be honest, I'm not sure exactly where. But I got it age 2 when I attempted to dive through the middle of a coffee table and I split my head open. And I had 2 stitches. I don't remember that, but that's what my mum told me. And it's one of those kind of family stories that get passed on. The second one I got age 9 or 10. I do remember this. We were staying at my uncle's house in Sanderstead in Surrey, and I was allowed out to ride a bike. I could take you to the exact point, I think, where I fell off on some loose gravel, and some of which may still be embedded in my knee because there is a kind of black mark in the scar that remains. The third one is in more of a straight line. It's in my leg somewhere around here, maybe an inch and a half long, something like that. I crawled under, and kids, don't try this at home or anywhere for that matter, I crawled under a barbed wire fence. was about 12 or 13, and I didn't even know that I'd caught my leg on it until I looked down and, well, you don't want to know, really. That time it wasn't stitches, it was those modern newfangled butterfly plasters that had just come out when I was that age. Scars. Jesus had scars. Well, of course he did. As a child, he must have played with other children. And sometimes, like you and me, he must have scraped his knee, banged his head, and cried at the shock of that. Being divine and yet human like you and me, he had experiences like us, accepting that, as the Bible tells us, Jesus was without sin. And in his final hours, as he was betrayed and arrested, Jesus went through things that would leave scars, many of them. He was seized by the mob that came with Judas. He was mocked and beaten by guards at the house to which he was taken, the house of the high priest. He was dragged off by the council of elders of the people to appear before Pilate, the Roman governor. He was sent to Herod and ridiculed by him and his soldiers. He was sent back to Pilate, who had him flogged. And the whip that they used in those days would have ripped the skin off his back. And the evidence of scholars suggests that what Jesus would have received was not just one lash, but 50 lashes with that whip. He was then given over by Pilate to be crucified, and Roman soldiers led him away. A crown made of twisted thorns was pressed onto his head, scratching away at it. He had wounds aplenty, but there were more to come. They laid Jesus down on a cross, putting long, rough, maybe rusty nails through his hands, through his feet, through his sides, and into the wood of the cross beneath him. Then they lifted up the cross with Jesus on it and let him hang there until he died. Why did Jesus have to die? That was the question I was asked a few years ago when we were sharing the story of Easter in our Easter Cracked program with about 200 primary school children. Why did Jesus have to die? But it wasn't one of those 10 or 11 year old children that asked the question. It was one of the staff who came with them, who took me to one side and quietly asked, why did Jesus have to die? I had about 60 seconds to answer her, and I hope I did it well enough. I want to take just a little bit longer than that now to answer. And I want to answer, using this pot. The Bible often uses pots as an illustration of how God acts towards his people, or it uses the clay that makes the pots. This pot is from IKEA, of course, and I got four for £4. Bargain. It's mass-produced. Each one is made of clay. Maybe there are one or two other ingredients, I don't know. And they are shaped by machinery. They are dipped in glaze and fired in a kiln, so that what was soft becomes solid and useful. At the beginning of the Bible, we can read a story of God creating the universe, the earth, and everything in it, including human beings. And in Genesis chapter 2, it says that the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground. Now, the original language of Genesis, of the Old Testament, is Hebrew, and the Hebrew word for ground is Adama. Adama. At this stage, is just an inanimate lump of mud. It is when the Lord breathes his life into the mud that it becomes a living being. A Dharma becomes Adam. And like this pot, solid and useful, and put to use in the world God had created, is Adam. In the parallel story of creation in Genesis chapter 1, after God created human beings, male and female, we're told that he looked at all that he had made, and it was very good. What then has gone wrong with the world, we might ask? Why is there war in Ukraine? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Why do we have, as individuals, such a tendency to mess things up? Well, Genesis 3 tells that story, but basically, given freedom to choose the right way, we humans invariably choose the wrong way. We choose our way, not God's way. And this is called sin. This pot is new. Hasn't been through a dishwasher yet or anything like that. It hasn't been used, actually, until now. Over time, as it is used, it will start to pick up scuffs and scars and scratches. It won't be quite as perfect as it is, if you can call an IKEA bowl perfect, I'm not sure. But it won't be quite as perfect. And so it is with us. As we live life, we begin to pick up scars and scuffs and scratches. Things we get wrong chip away at our lives. Things that others do wrong chip away at their lives and ours, even as the things we get wrong chip away at their lives. And we may know that and we may not. Some of us may feel that our lives are worse than just a few chips. Maybe just broken. This fell out of a cupboard with a little bit of help, I have to admit, for the purposes of this morning, and just broke in two. Some of us may feel that our lives are broken and we don't know what to do. Why did Jesus have to die? Because of us, our mess. Because of him, his love. A verse in the Bible says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. On the cross, Jesus Christ took the blame, carried our shame. Removed the stain. On the cross, Jesus makes it possible for us to be forgiven, for us to be put back together. To be made new creations in him. And today is the day to remember that Jesus is alive and that when we ask him, he will come into our lives and forgive us. God breathes life into us afresh. His Holy Spirit cleaning us up, making us new. And if you haven't had that experience, you can have that today. You can pray to God for those things right now, that God would put you back together. It's kind of difficult to do, but bear with me. You can pray to God for those things right now, and I'll lead us in a prayer before we've finished that might help you. Do you know, one of the things that challenges me about the scars of Jesus, well, is that he still has them after the resurrection. Do you notice that? It also encourages me that he still has them, that Jesus, who appears to the disciples after he has risen, is no imposter to replace the man who has died. He is the risen Messiah. He has the scars to prove that he has suffered and suffered for us. And on the evening of the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to two of his followers on the road to Emmaus. And at first they didn't recognize him until he disappeared from their sight. And they rushed off to tell the 11 remaining disciples, "It is true. The Lord has risen." And as they were there doing that, Jesus appeared again. And they thought that they were seeing a ghost. But he showed them the wounds on his hands, on his feet, on his sides. And they knew it was really him. The physical evidence of his suffering and death was still with him in his resurrected life. And they knew it was true that he is risen. What was true then is true today. Jesus is risen. He has died, and he has the scars to prove it, yes. And he is risen. I want to show you one more pot. And here it is. It's another IKEA pot. Yes, it's good that there were four in the set, and I have one spare at home. This pot too was broken and now put back together using the Japanese art of kintsugi, where they mend broken objects with lacquer mixed with gold, maybe silver as well, or platinum. And kintsugi treats breakage and repair as part of the history of the pot and not something to hide. And from brokenness, it is made new. And there is beauty in the scars, even from a first time kintsugi user in Katie, who was willing to have a go, and I'm very grateful. Now, when you come to trust in Jesus, when you believe that he is who he said he is, who died for you and is risen for you, he makes you new. And one day you will be made perfect in him. For now, though, you may bear the scars. There are the external scars that we have, like the ones that I've picked up through the various accidents that I've had. Then there are the internal, emotional scars of things that we have done to ourselves or that have been done to us by others, or that have just happened, things that have hurt us because that's the way life is. They are part of your history. And yet Jesus brings beauty in your scars. He can use what you have gone through to bring beauty. The poet and singer, although some would dispute the singer bit, Leonard Cohen, famously said, "There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." And I think there's truth in that. But I also think that the reverse is true for followers of Jesus. There is a crack in us. That's how the light gets out. The Apostle Paul says about Jesus, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." He then says, the Apostle Paul, that we have this treasure in jars of clay, frail pots in human form, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. See, the light that you may have received in Jesus also needs letting out. Your cracks, your scars, your human experiences made new through the light of Christ can become things of beauty as you share them with others and tell how the light of Christ has come into your life. Let me go back to the three pots again. Wonder which one represents you. Is it this one? New and unbroken to this point. Probably just slightly scratched now through me picking it up. But not yet chipped. Maybe it would be closer to you if it had a few chips and scratches on it. That can be arranged, but I'm not going to do it now. Or do you feel that this one represents you? Just broken apart. And that's how you feel your life is right now. And you really need a solution. You really need something that can put you back together again. Or perhaps you'd like it to be this one. Put back together, made new with beauty in the scars. Free to live the life to the full that Jesus wants for you. If this is what you would like, I want to pray a prayer for you now. And you can echo the words in your heart. So let's pray. In the Bible, years before Jesus came, it was said of him, the one who was to come. The fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. So here's the prayer, and maybe you want to make these words your own as I pray. Lord God, as I think about the cross, I realize that it was my failures, my faults, my tendency to mess things up that did that to you. I'm the one who deserves to be there, not you. But I thank you that you have died for me. By your death, I can be forgiven. And I ask for that forgiveness now. And your resurrection on Easter Sunday tells me that I can be raised with you and made new in you. There may still be scars outside and in. But thank you that there is your beauty in the scars. And you receive even me into your kingdom and use me to serve you and others. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.